Comrades and friends, hello. Before we get further today, we have a special Bunker News Bulletin. This is Rob, and joining me on Zoom from Turkey is our comrade MB. MB, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I just got done picking up a few tchotchkes to send home in a care package to my children before we get on the boats.
That's beautiful. So the reason MB is joining us today from Turkey is, I think tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this on the day that it drops, she will be joining a group of other comrades in the Freedom Flotilla to try to bring humanitarian aid to Gaza and also to illustrate the terrible embargo on the people of Gaza that they've had to deal with for almost 20 years. I'm so happy to be able to speak with you and to be connected with you. Are you in Istanbul now?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know, can you just give a little background about yourself, sort of where you're from and how you got involved with the broader issue and sort of what brought you now to Turkey to get ready to take this flotilla?
Right. It's a sort of a logical progression. I am from, we'll say, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I first came to learn of the issues surrounding Palestine and Israel like 22 years ago. I was 19. At the time, I was dating a boy who had been mostly raised in the Middle East. His father was in the military. And I saw on the news where Israeli forces had shot an 8-year-old child. I think it was out in the West Bank. And I remember standing and staring at the news and thought, what? And the child had thrown a rock. And my 15-year-old brother-in-law says to me, oh, yeah, you know, Palestinians will throw rocks and Israelis then drop bombs. And those are very different things. And I thought, what? What is this? And now I graduated undergrad before Facebook was even invented. So there wasn't really like social media and the availability of different perspectives like there is now. So I went back to college, to Penn State, and I tried to find all the books in the library I could about these things. And so for the past 22 years, I have been going through like intermittent deep dives on specific issues. Sometimes it's a deep dive on the Sabra and Shatila massacre. And sometimes it's a deep dive through, you know, one of the more recent ones was Oxford University was hosting these debates where people could vote at the end of how they felt about it. And they would bring in different scholars. And one of them was, the statement was, anti-Zionism is a new form of anti-Semitism. Go. And then I would listen to scholars debate each other. And so October 7th happened. I was at among like the first protests in Philly shortly thereafter, the Palestinian solidarity protests. And it's just been like increasing with what I've been doing up to this point where the opportunity to get on the flotilla came about through my 11-year-old son, and here I am now.
So your 11-year-old son sort of suggested it. See, this is what we like to normally we uncover things and we call out bad parenting. This is exceptional parenting here.
So thank you. I try.
Your 11-year-old son was like, "Mom, you got to get on this boat."
Oh, they are my children are developmentally appropriate little revolutionaries of their own. So my 11-year-old, we took them. I have two kids, an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old, two sons. We went to D.C. for a few days on their spring break, and my 11-year-old wanted to do some political action. And I knew you could sign up for the days with Code Pink, like just for a day here and there. I said, all right. So I signed us up for a day. We go to walk the halls of Congress with Code Pink. And in the morning, we get to talking with Anne Wright. Now, I know who she is. She, of course, didn't know who I was. Oh, Mary Beth, tell me about yourself. What did you do? And as I do this, you know, she has this talent. Like, she really listens to people when they tell her things. Like, so she says, hey, I have to go. I have a steering committee meeting for my flotilla. We're doing this emergency flotilla. Have you ever heard of it? And I said, I've heard of like one in the past. She gave me a little information. And I got home from DC. I had to head back up to Pennsylvania for, I'm in medical school too. So I had to get some schoolwork done. And then my co-parent, Ben, he took the kids down to Southern Virginia to visit his parents. So I knew I wanted to go on this mission, and I have a professional background of skills that could potentially be quite useful. So he drives, it was a Friday then, he drove the 9 hours home from like Southern Virginia with two feral boys all by himself. And I explained this mission to him. And without saying, I think I should go, I want to go, the first thing he said to me is, how do we get you on this mission? To say my family is supportive would be not to do them justice for the ways that they contribute that enable me to be here.
Familial solidarity, folks. That's what we're looking for. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Your story is pretty similar to mine. Back, you know, when I was at the university in the 90s, I had always followed the South African struggle against apartheid and sort of understood that and understood this in relation to that. But I remember around that time, the first time I read accounts of the Nakba in 48, and I just couldn't. It was hard to believe that Zionist terrorists were just sent in to cleanse cities before, you know, as the British mandate fell apart, and I just couldn't believe it. So I've had sort of the same sort of feeling of solidarity and support with the Palestinian cause around the, you know, in this, along the same lines as you have. I did hear about different flotillas from Turkey trying to get to Gaza, basically starting maybe 10 or 15 years ago, just to demonstrate the full embargo of not being able to get medicine, food, medical people there. And this one is just a continuation of that work. However, obviously, it's a hot war zone, so you're taking huge risks. I did read last night that there was some training, some maritime training, and other things. Can you explain what the, once you sign up and you arrive in Turkey, what the training was like and what the prep is like?
Yeah, so the Flotilla Coalition started in 2008. I think it was five boats. Two or three of them got to the shores of Gaza. Since then, none have gotten in. There was one of the missions in 2010, the Mavi Marmara, where Israeli forces opened fire on unarmed civilians, and they killed 10 people on board, and I think injured another 40 to 60 people. And, you know, these were peace activist civilians. They were not expecting machine gun fire from a distance. And then I know there was a 2018, a 2019. And so this is considered something of an emergency mission because of the desperate conditions just to exist for the Gazans as created by Israel. So we get on ground. We are all required to do this nonviolence training. The trainers for it, they are, I don't know if certified is the right word, but they are of high skill, verified capacity for training these sort of like nonviolence de-escalation techniques. And so that day starts with sort of an introduction to things that had happened, lessons learned, reinforcing sort of the perspective of the leadership of this mission And then we got into these small affinity groups. We had to talk through some questions. What brings you here? What inspires you? And then as we're talking, there was some practical exercises for us to sort of practice and think about in the event that Israeli commandos board our boats. What would that look like? How can we react? And we practiced these different scenarios. You know, an emphasis that we are unarmed civilians. And we have to do our best with self-protection versus self-defense. And the rest is up to fate, maybe. Inshallah, we get to Gaza and home in one piece.
How many comrades and friends will be going with you, and what is the makeup? Are they coming from mostly the United States? Are there Turkish and other people from the Middle East? What is the numbers and what's the makeup?
So yeah, I have to say the full name of sort of the bulk of the organization and legwork in Turkish, I can't repeat right now. In Turkish, we call it İHA. Not to be confused, there, be advised, there is another organization that exists of a similar name in a different country, and that has a different sort of background. This İHA is among the largest humanitarian organizations worldwide, and they responded to Haiti. They responded to Hurricane Katrina. Like they came and helped us in the United States. So İHA, I think, you know, they did all this grassroots fundraising of about like 4 million people, Turkish citizens, donated. So about 600-ish are going to be like Turkish people. And then another 300 to 400 are the international coalition. And so of these hundreds and hundreds of people, we have, I think, 40 different national groups represented in this roughly, you know, somewhere between 800 to 1200 people at this point. I like exact number. I couldn't say now because with the delays, people are having to not stay. Some people are adding on late.
So this, you're going to depart shortly in the next day or two. How long will it take to leave Istanbul, go down the west coast of Turkey, past Izmir, and around into the Med, and to get to Palestine? What's that ride going to be like?
A few days,
couple days at least. Yeah,
because we have to be careful in how we maneuver. It's also important to note that when Israeli forces did attack previous ships, and even in the ones where it wasn't the Mavi Mara, where they killed people, they've always responded aggressively, as we can expect. And when they have done this, when they killed those civilians, it was in international waters. It was at least 70 kilometers off the coast.
Oh, well, I hope that we can stay in touch. I wish you the absolute best. I think I would tell people and your family sincerely how important and heroic it is, but I'm pretty sure they already know.
I don't think we should call it heroic. I think we should call it a damn shame that it has to be this way. I think we should keep sight of the fact that this is about Palestine. And this is about Palestinians controlling Palestinian land. It's their coast. And that's the whole issue with challenging this, is this mission we do not coordinate. The Israelis know we're coming. We're not hiding it, but we do not coordinate with Israel for what will happen with Palestinian land. The Palestinians control their land. And while it's really important to get visibility on this mission, on the amazing things happening on college campuses now back home. What is it all for? Who is this really about? Like, let's check ourselves, because right now we see in the news finding mass graves at hospital sites, people with their Foley catheters still in, just ongoing atrocities of the Israeli military and paramilitary forces behaving with absolute impunity. So let's keep the focus on Palestinians.
No, that's a great point. I mentioned in a recording last night for people to recognize and support what's happening on college campuses as they've supported all of the different actions we've done in the U.S. But yes, I mean, the most important aspect to this are people living under apartheid, people living under occupation, people now having to deal with being ethnically cleansed from what really is an open-air prison that them and their families were forced into over decades. And that needs to be the center of all of this. And I'm glad that you sort of recentered the whole discussion, because that's what it is. What I wanted to do was just to make sure that people understood that regular people are going to put themselves on the line.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because of this situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah, many of the U.S. contingency, at least, is like 75 years old.
That's it. Hey, look, you know what? I, as an older fellow myself, I have to give it up for the OGs and the gray beards. Thank you.
They are. These are the OGs. These are Vietnam era, raw burning, like absolute activists. They're beautiful. And we have 7 U.S. military veterans as part of our team, including myself.
That's fantastic. Is there a way outside of Turkey to legally donate to this cause? I know they have a blog and a website available. I looked at it last night. I know that can be tricky, but is that something that people can do to sort of just at least help in a small way the effort?
You can donate through the website. I think it's like freedomflotillacoalition.org. I can check.
I believe that is what it is, but it'll also be in the show notes of this when we release it. So if you're listening to this, you can go down to the bottom and click where it says, and that's what we'll do.
Okay.
Cool.
And I will say I got to do an interview in German yesterday, because we were at sort of a rally event in Turkey, and a German news station walked up and he asked it was all Americans in this one particular area, if anyone spoke German. And all I could say was like, I'm fishing. And the best I could say is like, alles Kinder sind meinen Kinder. All children are my children. And I don't want to raise children, my own children, in a world where we live stream a genocide, where children have to learn to speak in a language foreign to them, to ask people to stop killing and maiming them. This is not the world I want to raise my children in. So I stand with the oppressed, and we continue to take up the fight.
That's beautiful. Thank you for taking this time before you embark on this journey. Please take as good care of yourself as you can, be as safe as you can. And just know that
Palestine. Yeah.
Just know that we're all behind you. Philistine Hora.
Yeah, Philistine Hora.